Blog Talk Radio.
To God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that He has done. We would like to welcome Word of Faith to Praise and Worship Center. We would like to worship you today. We would like to thank God today because we get to worship the Lord of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. We're here to exalt Him. We're here to lift His name up. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you come to do today, but I come to glorify His name. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to exalt Him. I don't know what you came to do today, but I came to lift Him up. Where God say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness, coming for His presence with thanksgiving, and to His courts with praises. And yes, we will praise. Yes, we lift up His name. Yes, we will give Him the praise and the glory that's due unto Him. So this morning, we're getting ready, praise God, to preach the unadulterated, uncompromised Word of God. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the Word of Faith, Praise and Worship Center. And to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that He has done. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, pastor of Word of Faith. Yes, we are located at 5045 Soutel Drive here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Well, let's get to the Word of God this morning. We're going to be coming today from John, the fourth chapter. And we're going to begin reading here at the first verse. And when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, so Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed and went again unto Galilee. Word let us know that He went again unto Galilee, that He must needs go to Samaria. Then coming He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plots of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat down thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. But this disciple were gone away. His disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. So when we begin to look at the Word of God, we see that it was a need that Jesus go to Samaria. I believe the Word of God tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. There are many today that Jesus came to seek. That's His purpose when He came on earth. He came to seek and to save them that was lost, that they too can know Him, that they too will know that He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords, to know that He is the Alpha and Omega, that He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last, and He is the true and the living God. Yes, He does have all power in His hand. Yes, He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Yes, there is nothing too hard for Him to do. So He came for the purpose that He said He needed to go to Samaria. He wasn't just going just to be going, but He decided that He was going to go to Samaria. And when He got to
Samaria, there was a woman, and it did not give her name, who she was. But it did tell us that this woman was in Samaria, and that this woman was by the well. She came there. She came to draw water. There was a certain time of the day, I believe, that she came to draw water, to get water for her daily living, water so that she have to drink, water that she'll have to cook, water that she have to bathe with, or whatever she needed to do with that water. Well, Jesus knew the timing. He knew when this woman was going to be there. So Jesus, he had sat on the well as if he was tired. And he sat down the well, and when the woman was at, came at the well, Jesus asked the woman to give him a drink. Give me something to drink. Give me some water. He didn't just say something, but he asked, say, give me to drink. His disciples had gone away. They had gone to buy meat, and he and the woman was alone. And you know, sometimes I believe, you know, that's a good thing when you can do that one-on-one witnessing. And I believe it was purpose that the disciple was not there. And then because Jesus wanted to be able to conversate with her. He wanted to be able to talk to her. He wanted to really to be able to be on a one-on-one type conversation with this woman. And the word of God says in that ninth verse, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She wanted to know, why are you asking me for a drink of water? Don't you know that I am a Samaria? That's what she kind of saying to Jesus. And the Jews and the Samaria, they don't have any dealing with one another. She was surprised that Jesus even talking to her. You know how it is sometimes when people, they have certain people that they're going to conversate with, certain people they're going to talk with, certain people that they're going to drink coffee with, certain people that they are going to be friends with. If they weren't going to be friends with them, if they weren't going to talk to them, if they didn't have something to say, if it wasn't a purpose they're going to do well, they weren't going to even waste their time. But this woman, she's saying to Jesus, in other words, I am a Samaritan. You are a Jew, and you ask the water of me. And Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you ask me, I'm not going to just give you the water that you can get from this well. But I would give you some water, some living water, that you don't have to come and you don't have to draw from this well. And the woman said unto him, she said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And she was saying to Jesus, she said, well, this well is deep. You don't have nothing to draw. How can you give me water? How can you give me that living water? You don't have anything to drink. You don't have anything to dip with. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a cup. You don't have anything. How is it you going to give me a water? Because Jesus had already told her that if you ask me, I would have given you that living water. And then she began to say, are thou greater than our father Jacob? Because she knew that Jacob was important. Jacob was a man that was well known. So therefore, she was saying to you, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinks of the water, of this water,
shall thirst again. You can drink of this water, but if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. Because I want to give you something that's everlasting. This water that you coming day to day to get is temporary water. But I want to give you something on the inside that's going to be everlasting. I want to give you something on the inside that's going to cause you not to thirst. You know that you're missing things in life. You know that you're going through things in your life. You know that you're not happy. But I want to give you something. I want to give you some peace. I want to give you some joy. I want to give you strength on the inside. And yet, the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water." She got so interested in what Jesus was saying. She said, "Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw." She was thinking in a carnal. She was thinking, if you give me this water, I will receive it. Because I don't want to come to this well. And I don't want to draw water. I don't want to come in the hot sun. And I don't want to come here and have to draw water like I have to come. Sometimes it's hot. And maybe sometimes it's cold, but I don't want to come. Give me the water that you have. She didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And Jesus said unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And the woman said, she answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband. In fact, thou sayest truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." So when Jesus began to tell her history, what she was about, what she had done, who she was with, how many husbands that she had, and the husband that she had, the person that she now has, was not her husband. She knew that Jesus was telling the truth. She knew that it was only God, that somebody that would know truth, that would speak the truth, and that she would know that she knew that it only was that Jesus had to be somebody special. She knew that Jesus had to be someone, that the only one, a prophet, that would tell her what was going on in her life. So when we began to look at the Word of God tells us, the woman said in that 19th verse, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." She knew that, hey, this wasn't an average man. That this was not an average man that was telling her all about herself. So she said, "I perceive that you are a prophet." Then she began to say, in that 20th verse of the 4th chapter of John, she said, "Our father worshiped in this mountain, and he say that in Jerusalem is a place where men are to worship." She was getting into doctrine. She began to talk just to be speaking, because I don't believe she really knew what to say, trying to start another conversation when Jesus began to talk to her about her personal life. That's when she began to say, "Our father worshiped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem the place where men are to worship. And but Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So you're talking about the mountain where they were going to worship and where the place where men ought to worship. But Jesus let her know that the hour will come, and it is really now is when the true worshiper was going to worship the Father in the Spirit and the truth. And that is the same that is today, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to have to worship God in the Spirit and in the truth. That is the only way that we can worship him. That's the only way that we're going to be able to touch him, by worshiping him in worship and worshiping him in the Spirit and in the truth. For God is a Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in the Spirit and in the truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah. See, she is trying to keep up the conversation, and she's trying to talk to Jesus as if she knew the word of God. And some things she knew, but she didn't know it in the fullness. She didn't have clarity. She didn't have understanding. And Jesus came there because the woman needed to be delivered. The woman needed him. The woman's eyes needed to be opened. The woman's eyes, her heart needed to be touched. She needed to know the Messiah. She needed to know the true and the living God. And it's not where you worship, whether it's on a mountain or whether it's in the back of a room, but you got to have to worship Jesus in the Spirit, and you got to worship him in the truth. And then the woman in that 25th verse said, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, my God. Did you understand? Did you see that she had the Messiah right in front of her? That she had Jesus right in front of her? That she had the King of Kings right in front of her? That she had the Lord of Lords right in front of her? It's not when he comes. He was already standing in front of her. He said, I am he that speaketh unto you. And the word tells us then came to the disciples in that 27th verse, and upon this, his disciples that came, and they marveled that Jesus was talking to this woman. Yet no man said, what speakest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And you know, at the beginning of our message, as we said that I was glad, and that was a reason why Jesus didn't have the disciples with him when he was at the well, because he knew that this woman was going to come. And we know that the disciples had gone to buy meat. But it wasn't for them to be there at that particular time, because they didn't really understand, why are you talking to this woman? Remember, the woman was a Samaritan. You know, there were prejudices in that day as it is in this day. See, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have any dealing with one another. And so she didn't even know that it was Christ before her. The disciples wanted to know, but they didn't say it. You know how we want to know things, but we won't say it. It's in our mind, but yet sometimes we don't speak it. And they were wondering, why is Jesus speaking to this woman? But they didn't say anything. And the woman then left her water pot, and then she went away unto the city and said unto the men. As you notice, she went to the men. She went to the people that she was comfortable with. She went to the men because the men would talk to her. And you know how it is that sometimes you don't be living up to other people's standard. After all, she had five husbands, and she was had another one that she was seeing. Well, sometimes there are people that they don't want anything to do with you. If you're not living according to what their standard, they don't want you in their company. And you know how it is sometimes, how some people will snob you, and some people will not even look at you, or they'll go on the other side of the street so they won't talk to you, or they'll turn up their nose to you, or they will let you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So therefore, she went to the men. She went to the men that was there, because the word of God tells us. And the word of God says, she said to them, she said, come, in that 29th verse, she said, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Come and see this man. I want you to see this man who has told me everything I've done. She knows what God had told her. She know what Jesus had revealed to her, and she wanted them to come. She was instant evangelist. She went in and told somebody. She gathered. She went in to tell them to get their attention, to say, come and see this man. They have told me everything that I have done. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city, and they came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, and Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He knew he wasn't finished. He knew that this woman was going to go and going to tell somebody. See, that's what Jesus expected us to do, not to come and just to hear the word, but we need to tell somebody, because somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be set free. Somebody needs to be delivered. Somebody needs to be born again. Somebody's life needs to be changed. So Jesus knew, just like he knew the woman had five husbands, and he knew that she had a man that wasn't her husband. He knew that she was going to go and that she was going to tell somebody. So she did. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him all to eat? Because that's when they were trying to get him to eat. He was telling them that he has meat to eat that they know not. And in that 34th verse, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that's in me. Come on. That's so awesome. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I didn't come just to play around. This should be your testimony. That when you get saved, you come and you came to Jesus, that you can be made better, that you can be saved, that your life can be changed. But you also come that you can go in and harvest. Because the word of God said the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. So therefore, he is saying to them that he said that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He had to finish the work that he was sent to do. He came to seek to save them that was lost. He came to be example to the unbeliever. He came to heal the sick and raise the dead. Come on. He came to let his light so shine that others would see him, that his Father would be glorified, and he would be glorified. Because he had a charge to keep. He had a God to glorify. So here we see in the word of God, in that 35th verse, say not ye that there are yet 4 months, talking to his disciples, and then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are ripe already to harvest. He's giving them an example. He's showing them a power. He let them know that can feel they are white, they are ready for harvest. That let us know that there are many souls out there, come on, that need to be saved, many lives that has to be changed. So even as Jesus was talking to his disciples and talking to them about the harvest and why he came, then we should see, our eyes should be open, that there is still a harvest where souls need to be saved and lives need to be changed. Those harvests of men that the woman was going to tell about Jesus, about the man that told her everything that he had done, everything that Jesus told this woman. She could identify. She could witness. She knew it was true. That's why she told them to come and see a man. They have told me all the things that I've done. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that same truth. One soweth and another reaps. He say, I send you to reap that whereon you destroy your labor. Other men's labor, and ye are entering into their labor. And God sent us. He sent every believer to go into the harvest. He sent every believer because this woman was able to have a talk with Jesus. Hear that son have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our trouble. He will hear you. You'll hear his cry. He will answer by and by. Come on. It's time for us to have a little talk with Jesus. It's time for us to hear what he is saying to us. And we should not be so quick to talk and not to listen to him. Because the woman had a lot that she was saying to Jesus. But Jesus had something for her that can give her that everlasting life. We need everlasting life. We need everyone that nameth the name of Jesus to get ready to go into the harvest. There's a harvest of souls in your neighborhood. There's a harvest of souls across the street, around the corner. There's a harvest of souls on the north side of your town, on the east side of your town, on the west side of your town, and the south side of your town, your town. There is a harvest of souls. Whatever city that you live in, there are people that need to be saved. There are lives that need to be changed. If Jesus took his time to go to Samaria, come on. If he took his time to go see about a woman that life need to be changed. And most likely this woman, she was going through things in her life. If this woman most likely was unhappy. You know why I say that? Because she went through man after man after man after man. She wasn't happy. She was trying to find happiness. But she was trying to find it all in a different place. She didn't know how to do it. But God was letting her know that she was speaking to him. That was he. And that's the same thing that God wants us to know today, that he is here. I realize that Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago for our healing, for our deliverance. He paid the price 2,000 years ago that we can live and not die. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to burn in hell. We can have life and we can have it everlasting. And we don't have to live this life today or tomorrow without him. We can live this day with Christ Jesus. And this woman, she had the opportunity to do what was right or to be stagnated and do nothing. But because of the fact she decided that, hey, I'm going to tell my friends, I'm going to go and tell my friends to come to see this man. He has already told me something good about my life. So I'm going to get them because this man has told me everything about me. Could this not be the Christ? So she did. She brought them. And Jesus was able to talk to this, to the men that she brought unto him. And the word of God tells us in that 39th verse, and many other Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman was testified. He told me all that ever I have done. What a awesome testimony. What a great testimony to be able to tell somebody that Jesus have told me all that I have done. And I realize that there are people that God has given. When we think about the fivefold ministry, when we think about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, I believe that God has sent these people for the upbuilding of the kingdom, for the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. And God has gifted them in order to preach the gospel, in order to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to cast out devils, to bring deliverance unto them. So when we see that Jesus, what Jesus did in Samaria, God is looking for his people today, well, the city that you live in, to do the same thing. He is looking for you in order to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, the Word of God says that in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So today, it's time for us to take up our cross and to follow Christ. It's time for us to believe the gospel. It's time for us to study the word. For the word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Word of God says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Word of God says, whosoever will call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. So I'm saying to you today, if you are without Christ, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, wherever you may be this morning, why don't you ask Christ to come into your life? Why don't you ask him to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart, and to save you? Whether you're black, white, yellow, whatever cultural origin you may be, all you got to believe God. It didn't matter because this woman was Samaritan. It didn't matter because Jesus loved her. And it shouldn't matter whether or not anyone, rich or poor, whether they're black or white, it should not matter because they have a soul that needs to be saved and they have a life that needs to be changed. So right now, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Right now, we're getting ready, wherever you may be. You may be driving in your car. You may be in your bedroom, the living room. You may be at a family gathering. Wherever you may be, I want you right now to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you from your sins, to come into your heart and to save you. Because this is an invitation to life. Here at Word of Faith, we give invitations to life so that you can live and that you can live abundantly. We want to give invitations to life eternal so that you're not just going to a party. You're not going to go to a party that's going to be over with and then you're sad again, but you're going to get the Heavenly Father that's going to come into your heart and that's going to forgive you for your sin, for your transgression, for the things that you've done, things that you said, lies that you told, places that you've been. All of us have sinned. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come on, come on. But the Word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today we're calling for you. We're calling for those that are not saved. We're calling for the backslider to come back to Christ. We're calling for you this morning that you would give your life to Christ. You got the opportunity right now. You got the opportunity right now to give your life to Christ. You may be in Chicago, Missouri, Alaska, Tampa, Jacksonville, Florida, Atlanta, wherever you may be, you got the opportunity, you got a chance to give your life to Christ. Come on. We're getting ready. Why don't you just repeat after me? Say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Save me. I want to live for you that I can live again. For your word says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, God, you said that I shall be saved. God, I want to be saved. I need to be saved. God, save me right now. I heard, God, that you saved to the uttermost. So, Lord, save me. Save me right now. And Father, I thank you. All you have to do is believe it. Just believe it. That what you said, that Jesus heard you and that he have forgiven you for your sins and for your transgression. Just like you told Nicodemus. You told Nicodemus that you must be born again. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you must be born again. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. God, we thank you for the great, Father, mighty things that you have done. Oh, God, we thank you for the great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word have we hid in our heart. God, that we will not sin against thee. Have your way today. Thank you, Father, for the services. Thank you, Father, for the men and women, boys and girls everywhere. Thank you, God, for those who were saved. God, for those that say yes to your will and yes to your way. God, those that are going to be hearing, Father, this broadcast, this message, God, throughout this month. God, just touch them, move upon them. God, give them life and give them more abundantly. And Father, we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We would like to thank the Lord God Almighty for the word of God on this morning. We thank God for the hearers of the word. We thank God for all the doers of the word. We thank God that God has allowed us another opportunity to come before him. We would like to invite you to visit us at our church. Our church is located here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. The location is 5045 Soutel Drive, Suite 90. We would love to have you to come and visit with us every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 12 to 1. Meet us here for prayer. Come pray your own prayer. Come and pray unto the Lord. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, up to an hour. You have an opportunity to go before the Lord God Almighty, because the Word of God says that man shall always pray and not to faint. You got an opportunity to pray and to bring someone during the prayer hour in the middle of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we're here at Word of Faith Praise and Worship Center preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God, that our soul and that the soul of the people will continue to be fed and saved and made free. May God bless you. May God keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He bless you in your going in, and may He bless you in your coming out. That is our prayer for you. Meet us here on next Sunday at the very same time.